Our next speaker is Dr. David Bartlett. He's the president-elect of the SSO and also vice chair of surgery at University of Pittsburgh. And he's going to talk to us about the management of small volume peritoneal metastases and then locally advanced gastric cancer, the role of laparoscopy, chemotherapy, and palliative gastrectomy. David?
Thank you. So we'll start here with the management of small volume peritoneal metastases. I don't have any disclosures. And this is a case report from when I was a resident in 1988, 22-year-old male suspected with appendicitis. We brought him in for an appendectomy and encountered small volume peritoneal metastases. At that time, without any effective chemotherapy for this, he was deemed terminal, and he was closed, discussed the terminal nature of the disease with the family. He went on IV narcotics and died in the hospital. At 22-year-old, it took a long time for him to die. So for weeks, we rounded on him, and it was very memorable in my mind. And so that's where we were back in 1988. And I think we've come a long way since then. And I think the purpose of this is to say where we are right now. So options for the management of peritoneal metastases include palliative care, systemic chemotherapy, surgical resection, and surgical resection plus heated intraperitoneal chemotherapy, which you may have heard a fair amount about of late. So the natural history of colon carcinomatosis, if you look at patients in the late 90s and early 2000s, from this study from Jane, synchronous metastases were associated with a 7-month overall median survival and metachronous metastases with a 12-month overall median survival. So this is a dismal disease, dismal prognosis if gone untreated. And does systemic chemotherapy work for this disease? And the answer is yes, it works, but patients with peritoneal metastases do die an earlier death than those with other metastases. And this is a paper from Jan Franco looking at 14 randomized trials of systemic chemotherapy and pulling out of each of those trials those patients with peritoneal metastases and analyzing those patients separately with peritoneal metastases. And what you see here are patients with isolated peritoneal metastases have a median overall survival of 16 months, that purple line. If they have non-isolated peritoneal metastases, in other words, peritoneal metastases plus other distant metastases, they had a median survival of 12 months. If you have non-peritoneal metastases in one organ, 20 months, and if you have non-peritoneal metastases in multiple organs, 16 months. So what this tells you is that peritoneal metastases, in actuality, do respond to chemotherapy, but their overall prognosis is worse, and probably because of the nature of progression of peritoneal metastases and what that causes in the peritoneal cavity, leading to a quicker death than liver metastases or lung metastases lead to those organs failing. So chemotherapy works, but not as effective overall in improving survival. And that's why we have looked at other options for the treatment of peritoneal metastases. And heated intraperitoneal chemotherapy has been around now since the 80s, believe it or not, and really has kind of slowly grown in popularity as a treatment of peritoneal metastases over the last 20 to 30 years. However, there have been a paucity of randomized clinical trials addressing this stage of disease. Here is the most recent trial from France, the Protégé 7 trial, where patients were randomized after complete surgical resection of peritoneal metastases from colon cancer to either receive HIPEC, heated intraperitoneal chemotherapy, and they use a 30-minute oxaliplatin HIPEC, which is different than we use in the United States, but randomized after surgical resection to either HIPEC or no HIPEC, and patients received systemic chemotherapy, either preoperative or postoperative. And this was presented at ASCO this year. Now, what you see in this overall survival curve is absolutely no difference in survival, regardless of whether these patients had that 30-minute HIPEC therapy or not. But if you look at the median survival of these patients with peritoneal metastases, it's on the order of 42 months. And so despite the fact that it showed that HIPEC doesn't do much for this stage of disease. I think it raises the question is, does the surgery do much for this disease? Because in reality, the previous randomized trials randomized cytoreductive surgery and HIPEC as a package to best systemic and palliative therapies, but did not randomize patients that had already undergone surgical resection. And so one argument with this trial is maybe it didn't show that HIPEC has any effect, which it clearly doesn't with this method, but maybe it does show us that surgery has an impact with this disease. And this is showing their results based on the PCI score, which is a way to stage the peritoneal disease so that we get an idea of the tumor volume. And it's even more dramatic. If you talk about what we're talking about today, the low volume, which is in green, this PCI score of less than 11, low volume peritoneal metastases, you can see that they don't even reach median survival, and the curve kind of levels out here at 5 years, suggesting that you have a greater than 5 year survival as a median for patients with low grade peritoneal metastases treated with surgery. Again, no benefit to the HIPEC, so just with surgery. So really akin to what we know we can accomplish with resection of liver metastases, which is a commonly accepted practice for treatment of liver metastases. So this goes back to the randomized trial of surgery plus HIPEC with mitomycin C. This is a 90-minute treatment with mitomycin C, completely different than what the French do. And this showed a survival advantage to those patients receiving cytoreductive surgery and HIPEC. But again, the control arm did not receive cytoreductive surgery. So it's still a little bit of an open question. Is the way they do HIPEC with 30 minutes of oxaliplatin just not effective? And maybe the mitomycin C is effective as per this randomized trial, or maybe the mitomycin C isn't effective and it's all just a matter of effective surgery with low volume disease. So here's my recommendation, and I have to say there's still controversy around this, and there isn't enough data to make this dogma, but so I'm calling it common sense management, but that's my common sense. So if you're undergoing an elective laparoscopic colectomy and you encounter peritoneal metastases, what should you do? You know, the best thing from my perspective is carefully stage the peritoneum, biopsy the metastases, abort the colectomy, and just like if you showed up with liver metastases, treat these patients with neoadjuvant chemotherapy and see what happens. So we generally hit them with FOLFIRINOX. It gives us the best response, especially if we think they're a candidate for surgery, and then go back, perform the colectomy, resect all gross peritoneal tumor, and consider adjuvant FOLFIRINOX for 6 cycles. And I think the HIPEC is still a question. It would not be with oxaliplatin, but perhaps with mitomycin C. So what happens if you're doing a colectomy for symptoms? You have to do the colectomy because of their symptoms, but you encounter peritoneal metastases. If it's low-volume peritoneal metastases, I would argue that you should resect all gross peritoneal tumor along with the primary disease, if feasible, and then post-operative adjuvant chemotherapy, close follow-up, and consider a cytoreductive surgery and HIPEC, again, with mitomycin C at the first sign of recurrence. And finally, if you're undergoing or having to take a patient for emergent colectomy for colon cancer and you encounter peritoneal metastases, obviously you want to do the quickest palliation possible, get them onto aggressive chemotherapy, and then consider taking them back for cytoreductive surgery, plus or minus HIPEC with mitomycin C and adjuvant therapy afterwards. And finally, there are a number of peritoneal metastases specialty centers. I think these centers are focused on multidisciplinary decisions, expert peritoneal surgery, and clinical trials. The recommendations for this continue to evolve with each trial that comes out. And we have the SSO sponsors a regional therapy meeting in February this year that will focus on peritoneal metastases. And we continue to try to learn and educate everybody about the appropriate management for these patients. And I'll stop there.